This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Aidan Lee Ping Wei, CEO of GraphJet Technology. Now, founded in 2019 in Malaysia as an innovative graphene and graphite producer, GraphJet Technology has its sights on a US NASDAQ listing as it touts itself as the world's first single-layer graphene and artificial graphite manufacturer leveraging on recycled palm kernel shells generated in the production of palm seed oil. A very good morning to you, Aidan. How are you keeping from the blustery cold weather of New York?
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, very cool.
Very cool, I can imagine. Well, let's just talk about graphene. Now, I look at the properties of graphene, 100x better electric conductivity to silicon, 100x stronger than steel, 10 times better thermal conductivity to aluminium, harder than diamond. That's all very nice. I even heard this anecdote. Just one single layer of graphene can hold a football on an atomic level, which is pretty incredible. But tell me, all these great attributes, what are its applications?
All right. Basically, what you mentioned just now is the very basic characteristic that a single layer graphene that should have. So, as you mentioned just now, a gram of graphene could able to cover almost a surface area of 20,000 square feet, which is a football area. All right. So for this kind of graphene, actually graphene is converted from graphite, and we convert the graphite from palm kernel shell, which is a agriculture waste or waste. It's a waste that go into a value-added product, or we call it a waste to wealth. All right. So in this graphene, there has been many applications in 10,800 industries and products. Okay, there will be upstream usage on aerospace, EV, battery, midstream, downstream to medicals, downstream to food applications, atmospheres, and so on and so forth. See, there's almost 10,000 over industries that can be applied on using this graphene.
Yeah, so many applications, but you know, this technology isn't really new per se, right? We've talked about graphene, you know, for more than 10, 15 years already. It's not a new technology. So why has it not taken up so fast? You know, why is it not as popular or as widely used as perhaps other materials there are, since we see all these amazing attributes of graphene?
Yep. Okay, basically graphene and graphite is been very, very expensive, okay? The only way to get this graphite and graphene, the only two way I would say, is first using a natural mine resources, they mine the graphite and convert the graphite to graphene. The second choices will be artificial, or we call it a man-made, all right? In using a man-made graphite and graphene, they are using from a coal base or petrol base. When you're using coal and petrol, it is a commodity. And when the price fluctuates and it becomes very, very expensive. At the moment, the market price of graphene per gram, we are going about $400, only 1 gram. Of course, look at before the Ukraine war and the Russia war, the graphene has been around $180, $200, the maximum $250. It's just the beginning of this Russian and Ukraine war. It has been go out 2 to 3 times. Now it's marketed at 400 at least. And to get a very high quality, you will need $500 for a gram. So it's not that the technology is not good in being applied to many products or industry. It's just because of the cost. The costing has been so high for those players, for those companies, to incorporate this raw material into their end product.
So let's talk about the cost side. As you said just now, right? Currently, graphene currently sells about $300 to $400 per gram, US dollars per gram. You claim to bring down the price to less than 10% of it at $20 to $25 per gram. Correct me if I'm wrong. Firstly, can you help me understand how can you do that? What makes it so possible for you to bring down the cost to just less than 10% of what its current market price is?
Okay, as I mentioned just now, the existing market, graphite and graphene, is only able to use from this either the natural or you man-made from coal base or coal base, and both has been go into with is a commodity, and there's no way that you can control a commodity around the world. So when the price go up, your cost definitely have to go up. For us, we are using a waste. Actually, basically, it's a waste that nobody wanted. It's a palm kernel shell. After they extract all the oil, everything has been done. It's a waste that nowhere you can go. The only option for the palm kernel shell to go into one of the usage is the pellet. Pellet is used as a biomass fuel oil for them to fire up the biomass power plant or anything that you, would need this pellet to fire up something. So now we have changed the pump kernel shell into this graphite and graphene. And this way is basically very cheap, too cheap, way too cheap. And Malaysia has been well known of a palm oil producer, the second of the world. All right. So we do have a very rich of volumes of this pump kernel shell.
Yeah. And so in your solution, right, how much of your cost structure is feedstock versus the cost of manufacturing and the logistics? How much of it is actually driven by the cost of feedstock?
The cost of feedstock actually is very, very low. Yeah, we're talking about the main consumption of the whole cost is like energy, labor costs, and heavy equipment. And in these industries, heavy asset equipment is definitely needed to run the production.
I'm just wondering out loud, right? When someone is marketing a price of $300 to $400 per gram for graphene at the moment, it sounds like nearly 90% of the cost is feedstock. That doesn't sound correct, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of cost that's driven to make graphene, like you say, electricity, the labor cost and such, right? How can you bring it down to $20 to $25? I mean, it doesn't make sense that graphene, that feedstock is 90% of the total cost, right?
Yep. And if you look at the current coal and petrol, for the current pricing of this graphene, it already consumed around 70-60% of the total cost. All right, then come to energy cost. Okay, as you mentioned just now, and graphite and graphene has been so popular around the world. The only country that really can control or dominates this graphite and graphene is only China. And China electricity cost is very, very high. Yeah.
So you're leveraging on the subsidized cost of Malaysia's electricity production to bring down the cost, is it?
Yeah, one of them. Yes, correct. You're right.
I just wonder out loud then, when you think about the market, because the growth and expectation is that graphene is going to grow north of 30% year on year. Currently, it's about $800 million, going to go to $7.7 billion in 6 years. What's fueling that growth?
Actually, if you're looking at this China market, assessing revenue for the China company that are producing this graphite and graphene is already $38 billion at the moment. All right. We do have a report and statistic that collected from all the listed companies in China, whereby they are listed company and they are all the annual report are published online. And as per 2021, the annual report for annual, they have been doing a $38 billion revenue just for graphite and graphene.
And so, if I talk back to the cost of production, right, $20 to $25 per gram, you promise a gross profit margin of about 60%. So, how much are you going to charge the graphene at? $100 to be able to deliver a net margin?
Oh no, $25 is basically our selling price.
You are delivering it at $25. Your gross margin is 60%. That means you're getting the cost per kernel at about $5 per gram. Is that what you're trying to get at for the kernel?
We're able to get lower than that. Yep.
I see. Where are you sourcing the palm kernel from? Have you already built relationships with all the major palm oil producers here?
All right. Talking about the ratio of chain converting the palm kernel shell to graphite and graphene is basically a 3-to-1 ratio.
Mm.
You give me 300 tons of palm kernel shell, I'm able to give you 100 tons of graphite and graphene.
Yeah, but have you secured the 300 tons of palm kernel from of the palm oil producers? Who are the palm oil producers that have already committed to sell it to you at this low price? And are they regretting selling it to you at this low price since you can get so much margin now?
Yeah, basically we don't require really a very high capacity or supplies of palm kernel shell. At the moment, we are producing a 10,000 ton of graphite and 60 ton of graphene. So basically, we just require 30,000 ton of palm kernel shell. And looking at Malaysia's per year, we do have 5.6 million tons of palm kernel shell. So we are taking even lesser than 10%.
But the question is, have you secured the supply of these waste materials? Have the major palm oil producers agree and say, look, we're going to supply you all this waste at this price X?
Yes, definitely.
Right. So how long is this agreement with these palm oil producers for? And who are they, if you don't mind me asking?
Those are quite a mid-term player, mid companies. It's not the big companies that we are looking for at the moment. Yeah, because we are yet to talk to those big company at the moment because we do not need this kind of high demands on the palm kernel shell.
I see. And I guess the worry is that, you know, people see this opportunity, they see the gross margin at 60%, they're going to copy and replicate it very fast. The question here is, how is the technology patented, right? You say the technology is patent pending. What is the process to get it fully patented then?
Oh, basically, we have gotten our patent granted last week, all right? And we are the first in the whole world that are able to convert the palm kernel shell, and we put it in this kind of patents and the writing, everything into the intellectual properties council, All right. And we have got granted on this patent as well.
How long is the patent for?
Patent for 10 years.
10 years. So we basically, you have some presence for the next 10 years before someone else can replicate and copy it lah.
Yep.
You have many collaborations of universities all around the world, Imperial College, universities in Japan, also your local institutions like UKM and UTM, and also recently a partnership with MIT. Help me understand what the different universities are doing and what kind of problems are they trying to solve for you at the moment?
All right. In terms of local university that like UKM, UTM, we are giving an opportunity and we are working together with a local present university to involve into this R&D. And we are very proud of that. We are a Malaysian company. And because of Malaysia do have this palm kernel shell, then we're able to convert into graphite and graphene. And for UKM and UTM, we just need them to participate, to be involved into this R&D and these products, all right? And in terms of UK, we do have Imperial College and we do have a few universities coming out for the collaborations. And in Japan, we do have Shibaura University, Wansei University as well, all right? And to support Japan regions. And every different region such as UK will be supporting on our customers in the UK. Whoever our customer using our graphene and graphite, if they do have questions on challenges to apply our graphene into their end products, our counsel, our technical partners, which is the university professor and all right. these expert, will give them advice. And lastly, that recently we have collaborated with MIT. As you know, MIT is the world number one university, and we are working with them, and we have joined their membership programs. We are working together right. with a few partners and members. Yeah.
So the goal is all these global universities is basically they are the partners with you for downstream applications. When your customers need to understand how to use graphene optimally in their operations and production, they can consult these technical experts as partners essentially.
Yep, you're right. Definitely you're right.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Aidan Lee Ping Wei, CEO of GraphJet Technology. Up next, the rationale behind the spec route. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Aidan Lee Ping Wei, CEO of GraphJet Technology, in the hot seat as we discuss the business model of GraphJet Technology as they plan to build a new facility here in Pahang. Let's just focus on this facility, right, Aidan? As you said, 10,000 tons of graphite, 60 tons of graphene, relatively small numbers when you consider the whole market size here. How much capital are you trying to raise to basically build this facility here?
So basically, we are raising almost 400 million ringgit in Nasdaq via a SPAC type of listing in Nasdaq. And as you know, Nasdaq is one of the world top capital market and have a bunch of good capital players, fund manager, institution that support good businesses. Of course, at the moment, we are listing our company in fact. And our spec, we do have around 150 million. And of course, there will be a pro and con whereby listing via spec, you may not able to confirm that the capital fundraise will be able to confirm by end of the day that you IPO in Nasdaq. Yeah. So, but of course, we are looking at 400 million ringgit Malaysia, which is 100 million plus US dollar.
That's the problem, isn't it? 450 million is like 100 million US dollars. When I looked at this, right, and understood why take the SPAC route, there were probably other routes which are probably less painful, easier to do to raise that amount of capital, right? We're not talking about billions here. We're talking about 90 to 100 million US dollars. You know, when you evaluated the different options, why was debt or loans not an option or consideration? Yeah.
To go on a loan perspective is a bit exhausting on for the company's director and shareholders. And in this kind of industry, it's quite a heavy asset industry for the initial stage. So it will require a high capacity of capability to raise more fund in overseas market or especially capital markets to expand the business. Expands our factory as well.
Yep. So why not private equity then?
We don't mind explore in private equity, but look at the existing market condition that private equity, it may not be our good choice to sacrifice a big chunk of the equities.
But one would actually argue that private markets are more open than public markets at the moment. I mean, did you actually engage any private equity players for this investment? Because this sounds very ripe for some private equity venture capital, no?
Okay. Go into venture capitals and private equity, one of the conditions that they do have certain criteria for them to come in. This is the first thing first. They will need to have a big chunk of the equities in the company. That's the second thing. And the third thing is, on the private equity and VC side, not much of them understand how graphite and graphene works, other than those big company, or you're talking about Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, Jefferies, Davidson, those big banks, that they are well known of what is graphite and graphene in terms of this sustainability as well.
So two reasons really. One, you're saying is that A, they're asking for a bigger chunk of the equity which you're not willing to release. Secondly, they don't understand the issues or the technology of graphite and graphene, is it? I mean, I would have expected them to understand the technology, since they're definitely more sophisticated investors compared to the other institutional and retail investors out there, no?
Yep.
And I guess then if we've eliminated private equity as an option, then my question then is, why go through a SPAC instead of a direct listing?
Direct listing, we actually do consider direct listing before the pandemic, and we are planning for the IPO. But of course, look at this, after the pandemic, we want to have a faster road and a better opportunity and a better winning stage on this IPO. We will go for a SPAC. That's where we end up to work with this SPAC to merge our business.
Which then makes me think, I mean, it sounds like the team here is very confident that they can do this on their own. Are you going to be open to, you know, investors like palm oil companies? They see the opportunity now, as we talked about just now. They have the feedstock, they have the waste, they could give it to you at a much lower rate. They could get a share of the equity later on. Would you be open to big palm oil players investing in your business?
We definitely welcome any investors, even a PC or a private equity or VC, that if at the moment they're willing to talk to us to invest into companies, definitely we would welcome them. But of course, the stages of them to come in, the phases they're able to come in, will be another types of through via the public offerings that we can be offered them to come in as a part of the shareholder.
But did you talk to them about potential collaborations and investments there? Because it sounds like SPAC, it seems like the last resort option for you, really, after you've eliminated all the other portions. You can't do debt, you can't do private equity, direct listings seem very difficult. SPAC seems to be like the last resort essentially for you to raise capital, isn't it?
I mean, not saying that they are not good. It's just we have make our decision to decide to make the best choice out of all the options. So SPAC will be one of our options that we really go into to raise the fund, and of course to extend, to scale up our production, scale up the company globally.
But since the public float is so small, I mean, it's a meager 8%, that's a big issue, isn't it? How do you really get institutional investors participating in this? And which comes to the mind of, why not just have gone through the private equity route, which is the earlier point you said, right? It's so hard for them to understand the business.
First thing first, for like I say, if you need the private equities to come in, and we are talking about $1.5 or $2.2 billion of valuation of the company total GraphGen, how much they're willing to come in? Taking over 10%, $200 million or US dollar, 5% is too little for them. So it is also a very difficult choices, that decision that need to make if they're willing to come in. And a firm that willing to take up 5%, 10%, they can't make any decision in the company. They don't own a minimum threshold in the company to make decision. They need to have at least 30% or some VC, they may ask for 51% or 40%, and 40% over my $1.5 billion or $2 billion valuation is too big for them. Unless all the big companies, big banks, there will be another choices that we are looking for. But of course, we are too small in Malaysia, all right? And not all the big banks are willing to talk to us. And we are really facing this kind of issue as well when we're trying last few times.
You're too small. You're saying the big banks don't want to talk to you. This worries me tremendously, because what you're saying here is that if there are entrepreneurs and investors like you that want to make big bets here in Malaysia and go global, it's very hard to raise capital in Malaysia. It sounds like it. It seems like the final resort is to go to the US via SPAC route, which we know is a challenging route now in these very difficult times. What does it say about our country that we cannot find the right ways of raising capital for technologies like yourselves?
Not to say that it's definitely impossible, but very, very challenging. It's not saying that look at the current market and after post-pandemic, interest rate high and all that. It's a very, very challenging if you're raising a fund with, let's say, 50 million ringgit Malaysia. It's very, very difficult. And even we are a company, in listed company in Malaysia, Bursa Malaysia, you're having a prior placement for 10 million also, you couldn't find a placey to get it if the company is not so healthy, unless your company very, very healthy, maybe 30 million, 40 million ringgit Malaysia, maybe you can with a private placement and all the right issue. So that is the capital market play that on Bursa, there's a challenge as well. And what are we when we are a private company? We are not even a listed company in Bursa. So that's the only, I mean, the best way that to go through and is US bank. Yeah.
Peter, putting aside the need to raise capital and that we're going overseas now, we can't rely on Malaysia to do that. Coming closer to home and talking about the operations, Malaysia still seems to be an attractive place to build a facility here. As you were saying just now, you are enjoying, you know, some form of subsidies from the energy cost, which is, I think, why many people are still very invested in Malaysia. Did you get any government support to build this facility? Are there any government guarantees, any financial grants provided by the government to help you bridge and develop this facility here in Pahang?
At the moment, we are in talking to a few government agencies, but of course, there's no set of very firm supportive in terms of grant, in terms of monetary support from the government for us to build this plant. But of course, spiritually, mentally, they are really giving us the support and, from the Ministry of these technologies and all that. You see, they are giving us a very good support. Pahang State governments welcome us as an investor to build a factory, provide a job opportunity in state and all that, you see. But if talking about the grant, anything related to monetaries, we are in talking, we are trying our best. There's no rejection from the governments.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still positive. Yeah.
So no financial support, but mostly spiritual and mental support at the moment from all the relevant authorities here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which actually, which is very interesting, you know, and I think it's actually pretty good timing to do this IPO, because if you talk about the recent announcements by President Biden with their Inflation Reduction Act, which is really going to spur and create lots of incentives for batteries, this is where public investors are going to be very interested, right, in the US. They're going to see the graphene technology being widely used for batteries going forward. Are you banking on that? Are you banking on this wave of renewable energy and the demand for graphene batteries moving the market and even investor sentiment here?
All right. I think you asked a very good question. All right. On this policy play, we actually announced our business combination with this spec called Energem on the 1st of August. And then 1 or 2 weeks later, President Biden, United States, had announced this Inflation Reduction Act on this subsidy of this using the battery or the raw material to produce EV car in North America. Of course, we are banking of these products, and we are really focusing on this battery and electrode materials on their EV battery, which is a negative part of the whole battery. All right, we are really focusing on this market, working with few EV automakers in talking and collaboration with all the EV automakers. And because this is the trend for the EV, yep, and the country are going, many country are going on for no carbon neutral mobility, sir.
Which explains your partnership with Toyota, right? Japan's leader in EV and electric motorcycles, right? They've committed, I think, $30 million, correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of the partnership, right? How much does that contribute to your plan already? When will your plan be at full capacity then? Because if you say it's a small piece and big players like Toyota have already committed to the base load, how much capacity has been taken up already of the new facility?
In terms of this Toyota's order that committed $30 million, and this capacity have been taking out 20%, 30% of the total's capacity of the factory. All right. At the moment, the order we gotten from the Toyota, we yet to realize the order yet, because we are submitting all the documentation to SEC, United States SEC, for all the documentation, audit, and due diligence and approval. So we are not going to realize the order now until we got the approval from the SEC.
And macro issue, I mean, Malaysia has long talked about, you know, being a national, regional, global supplier of graphene. I think you're the first to, I think, take first steps of it. They haven't provided any physical, any material support besides the mental and spiritual and emotional support so far. You're raising capital globally overseas. So what's the point of this national graphene action plan under the 11th Malaysia plan, when someone like you, an entrepreneur, decides that you have to have global customers, you raise capital overseas, and you're not getting any financial support in Malaysia? What's the point of a national graphene action plan then?
Actually, on this national graphene plan, we are not really aware of that. Since then, once we announced, we're with the ministry, we have been talking with all the government agencies, only aware that Malaysia to really support this Graphene National Plan. But as you mentioned, that we have to go outside Malaysia to raise funds to build our factory. And governments, we are still in talking to. It's not saying that they have rejected us, but we are talking to them. We are hopefully that governments will give a very good support in terms of monetary as well.
Aiden, I wish you all the best for your upcoming US listing as you expand your facility here in Pahang to manufacture graphene and graphite. That's all the time we have for today on The Breakfast Grill. Aiden Lee Ping Wei, CEO of GraphCheck Technology. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.